You, but I enjoy the freedom and the liberty that I have in Jesus. A freedom to lift my hands, a freedom to lift my voice, a freedom to praise Him. As an old song we used to sing, well, probably not too old for some of you, but it says, I'm going to praise the Lord any way that I can. I'm going to clap my hands, lift my voice, or I'm going to stomp my feet, sing and rejoice. I'm going to praise the Lord any way that I can. Any way that I can demonstrate my appreciation for what Jesus has done for me. I believe it's proper. I believe it's right to lift my voice, to lift my hands. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I was thinking, when someone does something for us in the natural, maybe they bless us with something or whatever the case may be, a lot of times we'll find ourselves responding in maybe a little more intimate way, maybe. Someone does something for us, they bless us, and so we'll hug them, say thank you. Sometimes we'll weep, we'll be overcome with emotion, and we've been blessed, we've been helped. Somebody has done something for us, and we want to somehow show gratitude. We want to somehow, sometimes we don't really know what to say. We say, I really don't know how to say thank you. There's someone who's done so much for us. Our Lord and Savior has done so much for me. Why would I not show my gratitude? Why would I not lift my hands? Why would I not clap my hands? Why would I not lift my voice? a public display. Lord, I thank you. I don't want anybody to wonder what I'm appreciative of. I don't want anybody to guess what I'm all about. I'm all about worshiping you. I'm all about showing my appreciation for what you have done for me. If we can do that in the natural one to another, why can we not do it in the spiritual to our Heavenly Father to say thank you? And though I can't really hug him in the sense of him being here, what I can do is stretch my arms toward heaven and say, oh, I appreciate what you've done for me, Jesus. I appreciate what you've done for me, Jesus. I thank you. I thank you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. There is a ladies' conference happening in Effingham, October 23rd and 24th. We're giving you plenty of notice. Ladies, if you are interested in going, there is a $40 registration which must be turned in. The registration deadline is September 27th here to the church so that we can get everything turned in. And if you have any questions concerning this, you can see either my wife or Sister Day. I think you know some of the details as well. And we need to get a number as soon as possible to know how many are going. There'll have to be hotel rooms and all that. Wonderful, fun stuff. So if you're interested in going, we will post this flyer back on the bulletin board to let you know. And again, the registration deadline is September 27th. So you got about a month of notice and lead time to start putting a little money aside so you can go and be a part of that. And we encourage you to do so. We want to remind you next Sunday night, special fifth Sunday. On the fifth Sunday, we have a Faith and Family night. And we're going to be doing it at our residence, weather permitting, at our residence in the backyard. We'll have a bonfire. You'll need to bring lawn chairs. You'll probably need to bring some bug spray. You'll want to bring a drink of your choice. If you like Diet Coke, well, you'll probably want to bring a 2-liter of Diet Coke. If you like sweet tea, like me, I'll have some sweet tea there. We will have coffee and hot chocolate and that sort of stuff, probably popcorn. We will not serve a full meal, so you'll want to eat before you come, but we will have snacks. And if you want s'mores, you can bring the stuff for s'mores. We'll have the implements there for roasting marshmallows and that sort of stuff. And we'll also have a kind of like an outside movie for the kind of a family movie. We'll put that on the projector and put it out there. So just a time of fellowship and fun activities there next Sunday night at our residence. Why don't you stand to your feet? I would ask you continue to remember Sister Doris Atkins in prayer. My family and I were able to go by, see her after lunch today. She's doing good, in good spirits, but she's got a monitoring device she has to basically keep track of certain things for the next 4 days. And I know that she would appreciate, we have the directories, her numbers therein. I know she'd appreciate a call of encouragement. Just say, hey, we're thinking about you, praying for you. And she would appreciate that very much. And we encourage you to do that. Psalms chapter 121. To read the entirety of the chapter. Say, oh Lord, well, it's only 8 verses long, so it won't take too long. Psalms 121. How many of you in your Bible, you have a heading there at Psalm 121 that says a song of degrees? Maybe on your iPad or your, it says a song of degrees. Well, we'll talk about that here in a little bit. Song of degrees. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. Sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. How many of you know it's good to come in the house of the Lord and be encouraged? It's good to come. That's how we prevail, Brother Al. We come together. We lift one another up. We encourage one another. We look into the Word of God, and it encourages us. Sometimes it instructs us. Sometimes it rebukes us. But sometimes it encourages us. The Bible has that ability to, whatever we're dealing with, whatever situation we're going through, there is a portion of Scripture that will apply to our lives. We can go and we can begin to read, and it's always amazing how that even some scriptures that I read and they helped me in a time of distress are also a scripture, maybe a scripture that encourages me in a time of feeling down and low. And so different emotions, but yet the same scripture can help me and encourage me and strengthen me. I'm thankful that the Word of God is living. It's eternal. It's not archaic. It's not old and outdated. It's something that's applying even to me today. Are you thankful for that? I want to preach to you upon this subject. It's not really deep. It's just I want it to be encouraging. Simply where my help comes from. How many of you know you need some help? I realize more and more every day how I need help. How I need help. Can we pray, Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. How wonderful you are. God, we lift you up and magnify your name. We ask that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive your word. God, that we would realize, I know we say it, I know we read it, God, but that we now more than ever before would realize in these dark times that our help comes from you, God. And Lord, that we would do as your word says, that we would lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help. Our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth, and we would believe and apply that to our lives and understand that where help truly comes from is from you. We love you, Jesus. We praise you, we thank you, we give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do. In your name that is above every name, in the only saving name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. Everybody said amen. Why don't you shake the hand of someone beside you and tell them my help comes from the Lord. Where my help comes from. We live in a day and age in many of the advertisements and things that assail us via media. There are advertisements, promotions that want to help. They want to assist us. They want to help. One I've been hearing quite a bit of late is if you have a timeshare and you want to get out of that timeshare. I remember when timeshares, man, they were the thing to have. Boy, everybody thought a timeshare was great. You bought a piece of a property and you got to go and set times where you could go on vacation. And millions were made as timeshares were sold. And now today I hear a lot of advertising about companies that want to get you out of your timeshare. They want to help you liquidate and get out of that contract that had all those hidden clauses and those disclaimers that you didn't realize when you signed up. And if you want help out of that contract, well, we have 100% satisfaction. We can guarantee you to get you out of your timeshare or you owe us nothing. We can help you out of the timeshare. We can help you. If you're interested in losing weight, man, if you want to lose 50 pounds in 1 week, we can help you. We can give you the tools. We can give you the all you have to do is call now. There's an introductory offer, which is satisfaction guaranteed. Man, we can help you lose the weight, and we can help you look younger and feel better. We can help you. Yeah, loss of energy, and you just don't have what you used to have anymore. Well, we can help you. Slip or fall? Injured in an accident? We can help you. We can assure you that you will pay nothing unless we recover a claim. You just need to call the law offices of Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe. We can help you. Whatever you have need of, there's somebody out there that's willing to help you. There's somebody out there that's willing to assist you. Always amazes me how they will have these advertisements, and you know they have to. There's some kind of law that causes them to have to make the disclaimer, because they advertise this casino with all these shows, and then at the very end, this fast voice comes on. If you have a gambling problem, please call. And they give you a number. Like the individual that's all excited about the casino is all of a sudden at the end of the advertisement going to have this point of revelation where I've got a gambling problem. I got a call. Let me hear that number again. Could you slow down, sir? We've got an answer for you. We've got a help for you. We've got assistance. You need counseling. You got an addiction. We can help you. And listen, and please understand, I know I'm being somewhat humorous, but the reality is there's a lot of institutions, there's a lot of companies, there's a lot of corporations who help themselves by helping you. They want to help. And I would to God that a lot of these institutions and a lot of these companies were reputable, especially those that want to help you out of your bad debt. Credit counseling call. They want to help you, so they say. But the reality is we live in a day and age where a lot of the help that is offered we know is pseudo-help. It's not really help. There's some kind of bait and switch that's going to happen. And so when it comes to getting true help and true assistance, there's a lot of skepticism. There's a lot of us that look at those that are offering help and those institutions that want to help, and we say, oh, I'm sure you do. You want to help yourself to my pocketbook is what you want to do. You don't really want to help me. You want to help you. You put it under the auspices of helping me, but what you really want to do is help yourself out. Listen, and I know it's a switch, if you will, but I've come to understand there's only one true source of help. There is only, I know there's a lot of things that can help to some degree, but if I truly want help out of a situation, if I truly want deliverance, if I truly want some counseling, He is the mighty counselor. He is the one that I can go. He's where my help comes from. I mentioned it earlier as you look at the passage of scripture where we read in Psalms 121. It begins and it says a song of degrees. So I began to look at that. What is a song of degrees? What does that mean? How does that work? Did a little study and I found out that there are actually 15 songs of degrees. They start in Psalms chapter 120 and they go through Psalms chapter 134. And if you count them up, there's actually 15 different songs of degrees. Steps, if you will, or a process or a progression, if you will. And as I begin to do a little more research, I found out that while 5 of these psalms are attributed to David, there are 10 psalms that we don't really know who wrote them. We don't know who they are attributed to. And as I did a little more research, I began to find out that some scholars believe that King Hezekiah is the one who wrote, because there's something that happened in King Hezekiah's life which parallels. You see, the Bible tells us that Isaiah comes, I think it's in 2 Kings chapter 20, that the prophet Isaiah comes to Hezekiah. He is sick upon his bed. And Isaiah comes to Hezekiah and he says, you're going to die. Get your house in order. You're going to die. And the Bible says that Hezekiah turns his face to the wall and he begins to weep and he begins to beseech the Lord and he begins to cry, Lord, done right. I've endeavored to do right and live right. And I would that you would look upon your servant right now and that you would answer my plea. And the Bible says that as Isaiah is making his way from away from the king, that he enters into the middle court. And at that moment, God speaks to Isaiah and says, go back. Go back and tell Hezekiah that he's not going to die. Matter of fact, I'm going to add 15 years unto his life. 15 years, 15 songs of degree. And so Isaiah comes back to Hezekiah and he tells him, you're not going to die. The Lord's going to add 15 years unto your life. And King Hezekiah says, oh, that's great. That's wonderful. But how do I know? I respect you as a man of God, but how do I know that this is true? How do I know that sympathy didn't just weave its way into your heart and you decided to come back and tell me there's going to be 15 more years? I'm sick, and now you're telling me that in 3 days I'm going to go into the house of the Lord. In other words, I'm going to be recovered from this illness within 3 days, and I'm going to be able to get up off of this bed and go into the house of the Lord. Isaiah, tell me, how am I going to know that this is true? How am I going to know that this is going to happen? Isaiah says, well, would you prefer that the sun goes ahead 10 degrees, or would you prefer that the sun goes back 10 degrees so that you would know? Obviously, they had a sundial. They were looking at it, the sundial of Ahaz. And King Hezekiah says, well, it's going to go ahead, I know. But going back, now that's something miraculous. I know his shadow is going to increase, but if you'll make it go back, well, then that's something that I can hang some hope on. And so the Bible says that the sun or the dial goes back 10 degrees. That's why many scholars believe that the other 10 songs of degrees were written by King Hezekiah, because he talks about in his recovery how that he will sing songs unto the Lord. And so there are many people and scholars that believe that the other 10 songs of degrees are those of Hezekiah, in reference to the 10 degrees that were turned back on the sundial. And what are you saying? I'm saying in all of this, if you look at those songs of degrees, you will find that they are divided, if you will, or they are segmented in five different psalms. The first five psalms have to deal with a hopeless situation. They have to deal with the understanding of the predicament that someone is in. They have to do with looking at the surrounding circumstances of one's life and feeling hopeless, feeling like that they are weighed down and the enemy is encamped against them and they have all of these issues. And so the first five basically deal with what we might consider a hopeless situation. Then the next five psalms of degree, they deal with prayer and trust in God. Now that even in my hopeless situation, I will turn to God. I will ask the Lord to help. I will look to the Lord to intervene. The next five have to deal with prayer and trust in God. And then the final five, the last five, deal with deliverance. How God will answer and how God will deliver and how God will do this great thing. And it is no wonder. It always amazes me how the Bible is so congruent, how it flows and how things intertwine. And when we look at it, we understand that even in the picture of Calvary, even in the death, the burial, and the resurrection, there is degrees. There is what some might seem and what the disciples looked at as a hopeless situation. The man that they thought was ushering in this new kingdom now hangs upon a cross and he dies. He's buried. Jesus himself talked about trust. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thy suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. And so now you have the second set, if you will, trusting in God. And then you have the third day, the day of deliverance, when Jesus is resurrected from the grave, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. It always amazes me how the Bible and how it works and how it intertwines and how it interchanges, and nothing is left to chance. And every jot and every tittle and every piece and portion of the Bible has a place and has a reason. It is so deep and it is so wonderful. But without going into all those particulars, and really what I'm coming to do is just kind of encourage us, because there are times in our lives where we enter into a place where we feel like maybe it's a hopeless situation, where we've come across this or this has happened and these circumstances surround our life, and we think, wow, this is hopeless. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know how all of this is going to come to pass. And it seems like a hopeless situation, Pastor, but I'm going to do what you've told me to do and what the Word of God instructs me to do. I'm going to pray and I'm going to trust in God. And then to see how that God delivers, how that God helps. And as we look at the Psalm in 121, the first thing the Bible says, it says, I will lift up mine eyes. See, I come to know this, you can't really lift up your eyes without lifting up your head. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. You see, if we're not careful, we stay focused upon the circumstances, and we stay focused upon what's going on around about us, and we stay looking down at the situation, and we need to understand that He's a lifter of the head. He's the one that causes us to lift up our eyes, because as long as my head's down, I can lift up my eyes, but it's really not going to give me much of a better perspective. But if I lift up my head, my eyes come with it, and all of a sudden, I have a little different perspective on what's going on and what's happening in my life. And though the situation that surrounds me may be dismal and it may look hopeless, I realize my help comes from somewhere else. I will lift up mine eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. I can't keep looking down here below. I can't keep looking at the situation and the circumstance, because as long as I focus upon that, I won't be able to lift up my head, and I won't be able to lift up my eyes. I won't be able to take my perspective from down here where all the problem is and where the hopeless situation is. And so, Lord, I need you to be a lifter up my head. I need you to lift mine eyes so that I can see where my help comes from. It comes from the Lord. He says, I will lift up mine eyes, but then he says specifically, unto the hills. Or range of hills, or some translation even says mountain range. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hill. And I begin to think about that. I begin to wonder, why did the psalmist say, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help? What is it about a hill? What is the aspect of the hill that the writer is trying to get across? And I don't profess to know it all, but maybe this perspective will shed a little light, and maybe it will help you to understand. You see, there's something unique about a hill or a mountain or a knoll. You see, many times I can't see what's coming on the other side. I see the top of the hill, but I don't really know what's directly on the other side, because see, something can be making its way toward me and I can't see it because it's on the other side of the hill. But guess what? With hope and anticipation and with faith, I can look under the hills, understanding and knowing, guess what? My help comes from the Lord. He's not late. He's always on time. And though I can't see it, though my perspective is such that I can't see what's coming up the other side, I believe my help's coming. I believe the Lord is sending provision my way. I believe that God is working even now, and the Lord has dispatched something on my behalf. And though I can't see it right now, I believe something's coming up the other side. And before long, I'm going to see it crest the hill. I'm going to know. It was Jacob held the bloody coat. Son Joseph for many years, and believed in his heart that his promised child, his precious Joseph, for which he had made a coat of many colors, was dead. He believed. The Bible says that all his family rose up to comfort him, but Jacob could not be comforted. His boy, Joseph, in his heart and in his mind was gone. The one that held so much promise, the one that had the dreams, the one that he cherished and he loved, he held his bloody coat and believed him to be dead. But all, we know the story, we know the process of time, and it's revealed that Joseph is in Egypt and God has sent him ahead to provide for the family. And now the brothers come back through the chain of events, and they come back to Jacob and they say, Dad, got great news for you. Joseph is yet alive, and he's in Israel, or he's in Egypt. And the Bible says that Jacob wouldn't believe it. No, I won't believe it. No, it can't be. And then the Bible says he looked under the hills, and there coming across the hills were some wagons laden with provisions from Egypt. And then the Bible says the spirit of Israel revived. All of a sudden, Jacob, stop looking down at your feet. Stop looking down at the bloody coat. Still believing that Joseph is dead. Lift up your eyes under the hills. Your help's on his way. You don't have to worry about your family dying in the famine. God has sent Joseph ahead. And when Jacob looked upon the hills and saw the wagons, the Bible says his spirit revived. What are you saying, Pastor? Just this. I've got to start believing. The Bible says if we have faith, we can say unto the mountain, be thou removed and cast into the midst of the sea. What do you say? When we learn to see with eyes of faith, we have the ability to see through the mountain. We have the ability to see on the other side of the hill. We have the ability to understand God's sending provision on the way. And though in the natural I can't see it because the hill blocks my view, in the spiritual I have the faith that God is providing, that God is sending blessing on its way, provision, and I believe. So I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. No, I can't see it in the natural. I've got to learn to start seeing it in the spiritual. And just because I don't see it in the natural doesn't mean it is not on its way. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. And just in case you have any doubts in the Lord's ability, just in case you struggle with the concept of what he can really do, you need to know he made heaven and the earth. You need to know he's the creator. I'm so glad to know that even when I'm in the valley, even when I'm surrounded by circumstance, even when temptation is all around about me to stop seeing with faith and stop believing and just look at the circumstances all around me, I know that even in the midst of my temptation, I still serve the Creator, and He's able to make a way out of no way. And even in that midst of temptation, He can make a way of escape. Why? Because He's a Creator. He made heaven and earth. Though I can't see it in the natural, and though I don't really understand how it's all working, I can believe in my heart. I can believe in my spirit helps on the way, just on the other side of the hill. The one who made heaven and earth has made provision for me. He's made a way of escape for me. I don't have to worry about the enemy. I don't have to worry about the circumstances. Why? Because my help comes from the Lord. And He's the one who made heaven and earth. I've said it before. I serve a God who can reach into nothing and make something out of nothing. And make a way out of no way. He's that kind of God. I just got to learn to stop looking at everything around about me. Stop looking at all the circumstances that surround my life and begin to lift up mine eyes under the hill and say, wait a second. On the other side, God's sending provision. On the other side, something is making its way to me that's going to deliver me out of distress. It's going to help me in my situation. I've come on this Sunday night to preach to somebody. Don't give up now. Don't turn back now. It's on the other side of the hill making its way unto you. Lift up your eyes unto the hills from whence cometh your help. Oh, but preacher, I'm going through some stuff. I'm dealing with some pretty serious stuff. There's circumstances surrounding my life. I don't know how I'm going to make it through it. I tell you how you're going to make it through it. Stop looking at the circumstances. Stop looking at the situation and lift your eyes under the hill. God's got this. God's got it. He knows what He's doing. Oh, but I'm having trouble seeing, Pastor. I'm having trouble believing. I understand. I've been there. I've been there. We've all been there. We've all seen ourselves in the valley. We've all kept our head hanging low and looking at the circumstances. But oh, when the time come, and maybe it was a certain message on a certain night, maybe it was a certain song on a certain Sunday, that all of a sudden began to cause me to lift my head, and I started believing again that God's gonna work it out. And I realized, wait a second, I'm not gonna get help by looking at all this stuff around me. I'm not gonna be delivered by looking at this situation and the circumstance, but oh, if I can lift mine eyes under the hills, that's where my help comes from. It comes from the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. Where do I really get help from? I'll tell you where I really get help from. It comes from the Lord. It comes from being around the people of God. It comes from being in the house of God. It comes from praying to God. It comes from reading God's word. That's where my help comes from. And if I can just start believing, if I can just start, If I can lift up my head, oh, ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, guess what? And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. I can believe if I can but lift my head to the hills from whence cometh my help. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. What's the point of all this, preacher? I'm just here to encourage somebody tonight. I'm just here to lift the spirit of someone who, and focusing on the situations that surround you, circumstances of you. I just come to encourage you. Lift up your head. Lift up your eyes. God's always on time. God knows what He's doing. And just because you can't see it doesn't mean it's not making its way up the other side of the hill. Just keep believing. Keep trusting in God. Keep understanding that the Lord is going to work it out. He's the one who made heaven and earth. And guess what? He can create whatever you need. He can bring it to pass. He is that kind of God. Is anything too hard for my God? I know we say no, but do we believe that? Is anything too hard for God? Scripture is full of what seems like hopeless situations. Scripture is full of testimonies, if you will, of people who are in a bad way, dealing with adverse circumstances, going through situations that they really saw no help out of. It was hopeless. But in every occasion where they lifted their eyes unto the Lord, where they began to seek after the Lord, guess what? He answered. If I can but realize where my help comes from. Listen, I'm not speaking against institutions and things that can help. I believe there is some level of help that can be acquired through certain programs and certain situations. Don't get me wrong in that. But I'll go far to say this. If they're not spiritually, biblically based, if they don't involve an element of Almighty God working and moving in your life and in my life, the help will only be temporary. But oh, if I can understand, true help comes from the Lord. True deliverance comes from the Lord. I'll lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from you. I know there's a lot of things that want to help me, Pastor, but there's only one thing that's really going to help me, and that is getting with God and saying, Lord, you're where my help comes from. I won't focus upon the circumstances and situations. I'll lift mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. Lord, I lift my heart.
There's a lifting of the eyes beyond the hills to where my help comes from. There's a lifting of the hands.
Oh, why don't you lift your hands right now?
There's a lifting of the heart.
Our hearts.
where our help comes from. Our help comes from you. We lift up our heads. Our help comes from you. We lift up our hearts. Our help comes from you. We lift up our eyes to where our help comes from.
You need help tonight. You're in the right place. Jesus is here. You need help out of a situation. You just need to lift your hands. You just need to lift your head. You just need to lift your eyes and believe.
There's a lifting. We lift up our hearts. There's a lifting. We lift up our eyes to where our help comes from. We lift up our
Some trust in chariots. Some trust in horses. I will trust in the name of the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
I believe. Lift up mine eyes. It's going to happen. It's making its way on the other side of the hill. Faith without works is dead, being alone. So, Lord, help me to respond in faith. I believe. Help is on its way. So let me act as if it's already here. I'm going to step out in faith a little bit. Brother and Sister Grimm have sought prayer and sought the Lord's will. Many of you know they live about 30 minutes away in Portland. They've wanted to sell their home. Not because they're greedy or they want to make a nice profit. They want to sell their home because they want to move close to church.
They don't want to have a 30-minute commute to and from church. They want to be closer to the house of God, to be more involved in the things of God. They're faithful people. I'll tell you, as pastor, they're faithful people. God rewards faithfulness. Brother and sister Grimm, act in faith. Go home, start packing. Get boxes. Oh, come on, pastor, you're getting a little crazy. Am I? Do we believe he can do it? Do we believe that he can answer the... Why not start working as if it's already... Why not start responding in faith as if I already have a closing date? I just believe that faith works that way. If I have the opportunity to stretch my faith and believe and I know that God can do it, why would I resist? Why? Might as well just respond in faith as if it's already happening, as if God's already answering. Why? Because my help comes from the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I love you. How wonderful you are, God. You're a rewarder of them that diligently seek you, God. You answer, God. You reward faithfulness. We believe, we trust in your power to work it out, to make it happen, and we respond in faith. We look to the hills in anticipation of what's coming just over the horizon, Lord. We look with joy, a smile upon my face. I won't look at the present circumstances. I'll look to the hills and say, it's on its way. It's going to happen, so I'm going to respond even now. I'm working as if it's already here. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this evening. Just realize where your help comes from. Lift your eyes to the hills. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.